The four suburban counties surrounding Philadelphia are carved up into 63 different school districts, some rich, some poor, some high-achieving, some not. These district lines are a big deal, and it takes effort to maintain them. Almost every school district spends time and resources trying to root out families they suspect of lying about their address and illegally crossing district lines. But some worry that this form of educational law and order leaves poor and minority students vulnerable. WHYY's Avi Wolfman-Arendt examined the world of suburban residency enforcement and brings us this three-part story. Here's part one.
It starts with a tip. Maybe a kid accidentally tells her teacher she lives two towns over, or maybe a neighbor reports strange comings and goings at the house across the street.
I might get a phone call from a neighbor saying, hey, so-and-so doesn't live next door to me anymore, here's the address.
Leanne Wenzel is the superintendent of the Ridley School District in Delaware County.
And then we put in for a residency investigation.
If investigators find the student doesn't live in Ridley, the district moves to disenroll him or her. In other words, it kicks the student out.
That's the standard by law, and that's what we follow.
This type of thing happens routinely, hundreds of times in the Philadelphia suburbs, maybe thousands. WHYY tried to get a handle on just how many students get disenrolled from suburban schools and who gets disenrolled. But before we get to that, let's explore why districts disenroll students. School administrators like Frank Bruno of the William Penn School District in Delaware County will tell you it's all about fairness and money.
We are not the big bad bully standing there with a bat batting people away.
Bruno is in charge of pupil services for William Penn, a largely poor district just west of Philadelphia that has long struggled to fund its schools.
So we have to keep an eye on where our money's being used.
As part of that, William Penn keeps an eye on where its students live. Over the last 3 years, the district says it's notified about 3,000 families it suspects of residency fraud. In all, it's disenrolled 495 students.
We have to make sure that we are serving actual residents of our district who are helping to fund the district rather than interlopers who are coming in to get a free ride.
That idea of a free ride gets people agitated, especially these days, says Leanne Wenzel. Her district, like many, has hiked taxes to keep up with enrollments and pension costs.
Money comes into play, and it does something to people. It makes people feel something.
And it makes sense. The money people pay in school taxes is a direct investment in their kids, not the kids in the next district over. Maura McInerney, an attorney with the Education Law Center, says high-wealth school districts shell out big bucks for gleaming new facilities.
And in contrast, right next door, a 10-minute drive away, you have a school district that doesn't have up-to-date textbooks, that has overcrowded classrooms of 30-plus in a classroom.
In other words, you can understand why a family might fudge the facts and try to sneak into a neighboring district. Districts aren't required to track the number of kids they remove from school, but here's what we do know. Through a series of right-to-know requests, WHYY found 37 of 63 suburban districts did track the number of disenrollments over the past 3 years. Those 37 districts disenrolled a combined 1,600 students. But that may not tell the whole story. Several districts told us they often don't formally disenroll students. Instead, they'll confront families with evidence and those families will voluntarily leave. Dan McGarry is with the Upper Darby School District in Delaware County.
So they may just withdraw their child, and a withdrawal is different than disenrolling.
McGarry also says money isn't the only thing driving enforcement.
When some communities change and poverty increases in some communities and food and conduct changes here and there, it leads people to be frustrated.
Upper Darby is one of those changing communities. It's rapidly becoming less white and less affluent. McGarry thinks some local residents want the district to ramp up residency enforcement because they believe folks, coming from the outside, are hurting the district. Felicia Roach lives in another fast-changing community, Cheltenham in Montgomery County. We met recently at a coffee shop in the Germantown section of Philadelphia. It was here, in this struggling neighborhood, where Roach bounced between five elementary schools, multiple high schools, and eventually where she got pregnant and dropped out. A cousin who lived in the nearby suburbs had a less tumultuous experience.
So in the back of my mind, that was always the goal, if I have a kid, to make sure that they went to a school in a county and not in the city.
Roche is Black, and over the last 30 years, more and more Black families like hers have moved into Cheltenham, which borders North Philly.
I think it was a cultural shock for them. They didn't know how to deal with that.
She thinks part of the way district officials dealt with it was through residency enforcement, specifically through challenging the residency of low-income minority residents. Roche says she's seen it firsthand. Just 2 years ago, she bickered with district officials who questioned whether her lease was legitimate.
It was a constant feeling of, even though you can legally be here, we don't want you to feel like you should be here. We want it to be as tough for you as possible. We want it to be as uncomfortable for you as possible.
Administrators in Cheltenham and elsewhere say that isn't their aim. They're just trying to enforce the rules. A lot of the skepticism, though, traces back to where we started. Remember, disenrollment usually starts with a tip. Someone believes someone else doesn't belong. Too often, says Maura McInerney, those suspicions stem from a common preconception. If you're poor or a minority, you may not be from around here.
Disproportionately, we have this implicit racial bias that's driving these referrals, that's driving people to call the school district and say, you should investigate that family.
Take a peek inside the world of residency enforcement, and you'll find a lot of the forces that shape education in Pennsylvania. Race, class, school funding, inequity, and changing demographics. We dug into the numbers to look at the scope and nature of disenrollment. Some of the findings were frustratingly incomplete, others were stark. We'll dive into those in our next installment. Avi Wolfman-Arendt, WHYY News.